my homily this evening, I'd like to just focus on that last phrase of our gospel. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The first thing to think of, at least that I think of for this evening, this phrase, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says, to learn from me. Think of being a student. Think of how frustrating we can be as students sometimes, whether you're a student in school or you're a student of life or wherever you are. Someone says they want to show you something, to teach you something, especially if it's a close friend or a family member. Usually we scoff against it, or it hurts us. We want to reject it. You know, I think of my grandpa saying something like, you better watch this because I'm only going to show you one time. And he's like already mad before he started. You know, don't enjoy it. Or, I don't know, husband and wife trying to teach you each other something. You know, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You know, a parent trying to teach their child a lesson. Friends, siblings, even at work, I'm sure, we don't like to learn oftentimes. Or we don't like being forced to learn. And Jesus doesn't force us, but he does invite us. He does invite us to learn. Very often, though, I think our response to being asked to learn as a form of a rejection comes in one of two ways. Out of pride, so something like, well, who are you to tell me that I have to learn something? Who are you? And especially if it's a friend or family member, because you know them. So it's like, and I know all of your weaknesses, so especially you shouldn't be the one to tell me to do something. So maybe pride. But then sometimes we respond in a different way. We reject a desire to become a student, to learn out of laziness. I think this affects old and young alike. We just don't want to. It just seems easier to not have to learn anything, you know, especially in the summer, especially if you're a young person and you can just sleep all day. And you don't have to, you know, read at all, and you don't have to do anything. For a lot of folks, that's kind of where we are. And Jesus challenges us. He doesn't force us. He offers it to us. He says, come to me and learn from me. In order to be a follower of Christ, we have to become a student. And unless we reject that first response of pride, I'm too good for this, or who are you to tell me this, or laziness, we're never going to become a disciple. This is my first little thought, is that Jesus invites us to reject pride or laziness, which keeps us from becoming a student of God. But what does he want to teach us? He says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. This word meek, it's one of my favorite little gospel words. At first glance, it's something like a gentle, or maybe even passive. Maybe being a doormat, letting people walk over you. But Jesus is not passive. He's not a doormat. The word meek in its Greek roots meant something like to break a horse. And I've mentioned this before. To break a horse, you think of a wild Mustang or a stallion or whatever it might be. And it's beautiful in a postcard or a nature show, and you still look out, and you know, and I've never seen a wild horse, but imagine it's a sight to see. But it's not very useful. For people, anyways, can't do much with it. They have all that power, but it's not going anywhere. Whereas meekness, or that idea of taming a horse, reining in a horse, you know, you put the blinders on, you put the bit in its mouth, and shoes on its feet. I guess they don't have feet, they have hooves, but you get the point. And you can actually do something then. You have all that power, and you can pull a cart. You can, I mean, horses really have changed the world. They really have. They advanced civilization. And so this image of meekness, taking all of that energy, enthusiasm, even anger. And I actually thought of anger especially because I've talked to a lot of people who are angry right now. Maybe all of you aren't, but a lot of people are. They're angry at, well, politicians. They're angry at society. They're angry at the church. Maybe they're angry at their family because they've been stuck with them for so long. The thing about anger, and this is true of all of the emotions, you know, those emotions, they're like a group of wild horses that just kind of run around in our minds and our hearts, and unless we do something with them, they're useless. Whether it's anger or sadness or joy or sorrow, whatever, hunger, every feeling we have is an engine for action, or else it's an engine for our destruction. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that, where you've been angry, but you haven't been able to do anything with it. You just dwell on it, and you dwell on it, or you're worried. But you can only, you know, stockpile so much food and get so much supplies before you don't know what else to do, but you're still worried. And I think Jesus calls us, in part, to either do something, to funnel, to channel that enthusiasm, whatever it is, or let go of it, to hand it over. So, especially, though, right now with something like anger. Anger is as an engine for action, but if you're not going to make any actions, then you got to let it go. Doesn't matter who you're angry with. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you think of the meekness of the cross. So you might look at the cross, and it could look as an image of weakness, and in part it is, Jesus allowing himself to become weak. But you could argue the flip side, it's one of the most powerful images you've ever seen. Because imagine Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, the most powerful person who has ever existed, and allows himself to be crucified. Imagine the self-control that would take. I couldn't do that. You know, if I had the power to not do it, I'd be running away from there. But Jesus, in his meekness, doesn't become a doormat. It's not like he just gets crucified because he couldn't help it. It's actually, even there, a sign of his power and of his strength. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. This challenge of meekness, of controlling ourselves, of not letting go of a lot of things so we can focus our energies in particular directions, we oftentimes don't really care too much about people to want them to do that. So an example, or a couple examples. I volunteered or worked as a hospital chaplain for a summer, and there was a boy who was going through cancer treatment. I don't know, he was 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that. And he couldn't sleep. And so they called the psychiatrist from the hospital. My psychiatrist came, and they did a little 30-second checkup. Okay, what's your weight? What medications are you taking? Okay, here's your sleeping pills. Send him on his way. And there's no sense of, well, maybe we could challenge this boy. He's going through cancer treatment, and I don't know what happened to him. Hopefully he recovered. But I asked his mom after the psychiatrist left. I said, do you give him his tablet or his phone at night in his room? Oh, yeah, you know, if he's sick, so they've given him all these gadgets, right, to kind of comfort him. And I thought, well, maybe he has trouble sleeping because he has his phone with him all the time. Maybe you encourage him to let go of his phone. Like, oh, well, no, it helps him be comfortable. And there was this a fear of wanting to push someone, even someone who's sick, challenge someone a little bit. It turns out it's hard to care. It's challenging to encourage others in self-control, self-mastery. I used to work at Starbucks just for a couple months, and they would pride themselves in being called the third place. So it's kind of like a bar in this way. There's work, then there's family, and then you have a third place where you can just come and be yourself. No worries. You'll be accepted for who you are. And I think that's kind of a code word for, let's make sure Starbucks is a place where we don't really care about you. Here's what I mean by that. When you care about someone, you don't just accept everything as though there's nothing they could ever do wrong. I thought a story with that. There was a gentleman who would come often. He was a divorcee, and he would come and gossip about his wife. And one day he came in with his, and then the employees would get in on it, and, you know, they would kind of badmouth his ex-wife and all this stuff. And then one day he came in with his son, young son, and he's kind of showing him off, look at all my little infant son here. And then his ex-wife comes into the cafe, and she asks if she could hold him for a minute, and said, okay, so she's holding him. And then she bolts out the door with the kid, and he's like yelling, he's like, call the police, she's kidnapping my son, and yelling and all this stuff. And my manager ran and hid in the back. And he said, I do not want to get involved in this. I do not want to have to become a witness for the police. I do not want to have to get sucked into this person's life. You know, this third place is a facade of not wanting to challenge, encourage, call people to become students of virtue, of self-mastery, ultimately of love. And much of our world masks, I think, compassion in sort of not caring about anyone. We have a little phrase that young people use. I don't know if they say it anymore, but you do you. You're that you do you. Just you do you. It's another way of saying, I don't really care what you do. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter that much to me. Jesus doesn't say that to us tonight. He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And what is a yoke? He's not saying to crack an egg over your head and make an omelet, right? A yoke is a collar that beasts of burden, an ox or donkeys would wear, right, to pull a load. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. The image here is really of a yoke with two head holes. One's for you and one's for Jesus. So he's not saying, if you're worried, if you're sick, if you're sinful, just don't worry about it. He's actually saying, I'm going to put a load on your shoulder and you're going to have to pull it to get out of this. But I'm going to be with you. And the beauty of it is, at first glance, it seems like more work to pull an extra load. But Jesus says that when we pull the load with him, you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Finally, I think of this passage with regards to the anointing of the sick. So this is it's the first option in the ritual booklet that the priests use when they anoint people as they're sick or as they're dying. And you might think, you know, if we're in a secular mindset, you come before someone who is sick or who is dying, and maybe you'd want the priest to say, just don't worry, you're going to be fine. Just relax. It's going to be okay. Just close your eyes. In fact, I was at the same summer as a hospital chaplain. There was with a chaplain of another denomination, and a patient asked this person about their son who had died. And this patient asked this other chaplain, who's not a Catholic, said, is my son going to heaven? And the chaplain said, yes. And we were in a discussion, and I asked this other chaplain, I'm like, do you believe that? She was like, well, no, I don't even know if I believe in heaven, but that made him feel good. Jesus doesn't tell us stuff just to make us feel good, just to kind of warm our hearts like a Hallmark greeting, right? He tells us something because it's true. He calls us to take upon the yoke of faith, to humble ourselves, to master ourselves by the grace of the Holy Spirit. If you're lazy, wake up, clean your room, get to work. If you're prideful, for a moment acknowledge you don't have all the answers, to learn from the Lord. Ultimately, to set our heads in that yoke alongside Christ. That image, I can't help but thinking that the yoke is the kind of the cross beam of the cross. And he's carrying it, and he wants us to be there with him. Ultimately, our reward is rest, is joy, is peace, is all the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So perhaps our prayer this evening can be something like, Lord, take all of my worries, all of my sufferings, all of my sorrows, everything I have that upsets me and bothers me, and help me to bear it with you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.